Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Chris.
Dan.
Me.
No singing?
Not really.
Not this week.
Not an awful lot to sing about.
No, not...
To be fair.
Not a great deal. Sauber.
Have released their new car.
Yes. Doesn't look anonymous.
I think it looks really nice.
At first, it looks exactly the same as last year's car, but then you look a bit closer and it really isn't anything like last year's car whatsoever. It just...
No, we got to see it.
Yeah, and it has the same colours on it. That's about it.
And they're sponsored by a TV company, so we might actually see them on TV this year.
CNBC.
Other channels are available. If any of them want to sponsor us. Anyway, yeah, it's a good-looking car. It's got the Ferrari back end, where after the airbox, it just vanishes.
Yeah, it becomes it's like he's wearing some sort of over-tightened bone corset. It just becomes nothing towards the back end at all whatsoever. But it's following the ethics of the Toro Rosso that we saw at the first test last week, really. It's keeping it very tight at the back. Well, all the cars, really, but difficult to tell without a livery. The Toro Rosso looks the tightest we've seen so far.
Yeah.
But the...
Good with that.
Yeah, the Sauber looks very, very small as well. Interesting what they've done with the front end of the car, though. It's not quite Ferrari-ish. It's...
Yeah, the nose doesn't drop off as steeply.
It's a bit 2014 McLaren with a bit of this year's Ferrari nose in it as well.
It confuses me that they've got like no sort of turning vanes or anything on that. There's nothing like moving the airflow around. It's just like a flat piece of carbon fibre on the front of it.
Don't forget, though, what we saw today with the photos that they released,
It's the release car.
It's the press photos. I'm sure tomorrow, because we're recording this Monday night before the first day of the second test, but I'm sure when we see it tomorrow...
They'll have attached a fence to it.
Yeah, when it's got the fence on. Other aerodynamic.
The Vettel chicken wire.
I think it wouldn't surprise me whether they just haven't got like the most developed aero package in the world on the car. I mean, let's face it, last year they came out of the box quick last year.
Yep.
And then didn't develop the car all the way through the season.
Well, they did. They were just slower at developing than other teams, I think.
Well, they've just got like a non-existent budget now, haven't they?
I think
they were focusing on last year as well, though, was the Ferrari have got a new part for the engine. We're going to try it on your car. Can you not change any of the aero? Here's some money.
Could be.
And also, when they came straight out of the box and both scored points in the first race, it was a huge sigh after the year before where they scored no points. So I think 2015 for them was a sort of just a, right, let's... take stock, see what we're doing.
A regroup year.
Yeah, sort of like a regroup. That's a good way of putting it down. Thank you.
I still think that the we won't have the Sauber name in Formula 1 for a massive amount of time to come, I don't think. I think if there's going to be an Alfa Romeo resurgence from Fiat, they're not going to want to bring a team in.
Buy a team
with that's already got the same engine that the Alfa Romeo will probably start using. Might be just a case of spraying a blue car red.
Possibly.
Could be, but then again, you look at the state that Force India are in with Sahara being in trouble and Vijay Mallya not being in charge of United Distilleries anymore, and is that going to affect the team, and is he ripe for picking off? Don't forget, Peter Sauber always manages to keep going through whatever, because the number of times we were broke before, and then BMW came in.
Sauber are actually the fourth longest running Formula One team going at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Behind McLaren, Williams and Ferrari.
Yeah. You say that a lot, but don't forget they were BMW for a while. You know, it's not like they've been in...
They were BMW Sauber. They still kept the name Sauber.
No, but they would be just BMW for a while, weren't they?
BMW Sauber.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, BMW only held a stake in the team. Peter Sauber bought the shares back through something beginning with Q Capital.
Oh right, I was sure
to BMW.
Just...
No, they were gonna buy the team fully, but they never did. So the Sauber name has always been there. It's not one of these Arrows footwork, Fond Metal, nice. Lotus, whatever things.
Mm-hmm. Leighton House.
Yeah, what? Anyone actually know what Leighton House did?
Sounds like a football team.
Rather than
Manchester United 2, Leighton House 1.
Oh.
Yeah, I once saw a front wing of a Leighton House car on sale at an F1 memorabilia shop in London, and it was only £30, but I didn't buy it because I was on a coach trip and the coach was full, so there was nowhere to actually put it. And it did get pointed out, I lived in a small house at the time, and there was nowhere to put it when I got home.
It seems like it's either going to be a rubbish style of music, Leighton House, isn't it? Or somewhere that you go to get an advocate.
That's a solicitor or a lawyer for anyone that's listening that isn't Max. Shall we move on?
Let's.
Talking of someone that isn't very Manx at all, Will Stevens is going to be racing for Manor this year. Ish.
Yeah, not in Formula One, though.
And not for that Manor team.
And not for that different Manor. It's a completely different Manor team.
A completely different Manor team.
Back,
which
back
is
but sort of similar.
But sort of similar, because it's the old Manor. He's back in his old manner.
He is back at his old
manner. I can't do Cockney accents, can I?
Neither can I. It's fine.
Dan, you're from nearest.
I've proved that I can't do any accent at all.
Right. Late, no.
Dan struggles with his own.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be driving for the new Manor World Endurance team, which is Booth and Loudon, who have retained the rights to the Manor name, and he's going to be racing in the LMP2 class.
Which is good news for Will Stevens.
Yeah, it's good to see that he's actually resurrecting his career, because everyone thought he was washed up for vaguely top flight racing after not getting the Manor F1 drive.
Well, I don't he think... was washed up, waxed and brill creamed, I think you'll find.
That was Max Chilton.
And his dad's chequebook.
Yeah. The LMP, the WEC is fast becoming a very watchable, very popular sport because of the quality of racing that they have. I'm actually really interested in watching it this year. I admittedly only caught bits and pieces of it last year, didn't really watch it at all, but I'm actually quite looking forward to seeing it this year. Why is that? Why are people getting more drawn towards WEC now than Formula One? I think they are. Yeah.
Well, I think you've got some
ex-Formula One drivers.
You've got some names in there. I mean, you've got.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a big. Weber. I don't think it's a massive thing of people suddenly deciding they're going to start watching WEC.
I think they've got a better marketing operation than they've had before.
Mm-hmm. I think the drivers who are going there are talking about it a lot more.
Yeah.
I don't remember Formula One drivers talking about where they're moving on to, really.
Yeah. That's it. And the Formula One drivers now do tend to move on to the WEC.
Or Formula E.
Or Formula E.
Yeah, it used to be a yacht.
Yeah. And I think Ford are putting a team in this year as well for WEC. Using one of the French teams and somebody else as one of their drivers as well. I can't remember who exactly, but yeah, it's for manufacturers. We've had this conversation before about manufacturers in sports. Mm-hmm. Are WEC sort of going the way that Formula One should be? It's an interesting one for later on.
Yeah. Or for 3 legs, 24 hours.
I do think...
I was 3 legs, 8 hours.
I do think that if... I think it was like 5 years ago, maybe, there was talks of like WEC having an offshoot or like a splinter series, where it would essentially be the LMP1 cars running as a World Sports Car Championship in a very similar situation as a Formula One race weekend. I think if they'd have done that when they were talking about doing it,
that would be their time to do it.
And it would have, I think Formula One might have been in a bit of a sticky situation.
Well, there. It was around about the same time as the possible breakaway series with all the constructors, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, if you'd have had, let's say, all the LMP1 teams now in a sports car series on their own, you could argue that that would be the pinnacle of motorsport, you know, technology-wise, against Formula One, because Formula One has caught up really in the hybrid technology. And then you've got the likes of like diesel hybrids and stuff like that running in WEC. It's really interesting.
Yeah, interesting you say technology, because moving swiftly onwards, segueing, if you will. Danny Rick's come out this week and says he wants more mechanical and less aero grip.
Yeah, I mean, we were briefly just watching a race from, was it 1982?
Yes.
The Las Vegas Grand Prix. We were watching that before the podcast, before we started recording the podcast. And they're very, very tiny front wings on all of the cars. And the cars, let's be honest,
and great big tyres.
Great big tyres. The cars look horrible. Let's
be
honest. They look like stubby fat.
Anyone remember the video game F1 Race Stars?
Like, oh, like, yeah, like the F1 but karting. F1 Mario Kart.
Yeah. Look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no size zero back ends on these bastards. They were huge. and they did have rear wings, but they were very, 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 very small front wings, and they were able to follow each other very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And what looked like pure mechanical grip and, you know, cornering properly, racing, mm-hmm. you know. It's interesting because Red Bull have been advocating more downforce. And yet their lead driver comes out and says, no,
He also came out and said that as far as being with Red Bull, we're waiting for the team to sort themselves out, that loyalty can only go so far.
Did he say that? Because that might have something to do with the fact that they asked him to drop 5 kilos from last year's race weight to this year's race weight.
That's nearly a stone in old money.
Yeah, but for a man who's already very slim, that's a lot of weight to lose. We're not talking about a man who's like, you know...
We're not talking Nigel Mansell here.
Yeah, we're not talking Nigel Mansell, you know, McLaren 95. You go lose a couple of stone because you're a bit overweight.
You're too wide to fit in the car.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We're talking, you know, it's become a problem.
From a pure aesthetic point of view, it doesn't look good for the sport. Because there's been a few times I've seen, Julian Palmer, for instance, because he's another quite tall Formula One driver, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. And before this was mentioned about...
but he's also carrying the weight of his dad's expectations as well.
Yes.
And failures. But the...
I qualified for a Grand Prix in 1980.
Yay me.
I owned a series and I made all the drivers sit down at the end of the race and tell them exactly where they'd gone wrong.
And I made the series after myself, says the man who named a band after himself.
Before the Ricardo thing, I saw Julian Palmer, you know, with his fireproof gear on, with the overalls tied around his waist.
Yeah.
And you could see his ribs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just from a pure, from a pure aesthetic point of view of looking at athletes, essentially, and it's always been tough
for the taller drivers because of the power to weight ratio mm-hmm. thing. The smaller you are, the lighter you're going to be.
Mm.
So, the faster the car is. But it does seem in the last 5 years or so, there's been far more talk of worries about the drivers' diets and how strict they're having to be, not to maintain fitness, but to maintain the required body weight to be able to race.
Yeah, I mean, Danny Rick has now said he's going to do all of his own cooking so he knows exactly what he's eating if he's got to lose this weight.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. I don't know. Dan, you probably think about running more than we've all ran. I take it when you've got a guy like Danny Rick, who's already in pretty good physical condition, so he must be talking up shredding muscle now to try and lose weight, because he can't have much of BMI.
Muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah, but if you look at cyclists, their BMI tends to be ridiculously low, like 1 or 2%. And I would imagine people like Mark Webber, Jenson Button, who do a lot of cycling, are about the same, which means that the rest of the guys on the grid are probably about the same. So that there is not much fat that any of them can lose. So yes, it is going to be muscle last.
Just trying to cut protein out and stuff like that, I suppose. So they're not building more muscle, maybe.
To be honest, I've got no idea how they'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, how do you lose?
You're the closest thing we have to an athlete. The cat doesn't speak English.
You went running on Saturday.
I did, yeah.
It's interesting. It's not. I mean, Carlos Sainz Jr. We touched on it briefly last week, saying about it could affect drivers' health if they keep having to lose weight all the time.
Well, he hasn't finished growing yet.
Which way, Paul? Up or out?
And out, because, well, go back to Mansell and you look what Formula One drivers grow out into. Yeah, two words. Alan Jones.
Yeah, he was too big for the GP Master Series.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, when they had to shoehorn him into an XL car. Moving swiftly along. Roman Grosjean's not happy.
Rightfully so, actually, yeah. I think.
And to be honest, this is the kind of thing, if they get down to a complete micromanagement scale, could affect people like us. Grosjean was filming and being filmed at the Haas filming day last week in Barcelona before the first test.
As you would expect to happen at a filming day.
Yeah, and some filming. He got the videos of him in the Haas, and he put them on his Instagram, and Bernie told him to take them down, because he doesn't have the rights.
He doesn't have the commercial rights to post videos from filming days on social media. Bearing in mind it's Romain Grosjean's own social media, and he used his own phone to take some footage of the filming day, and you know, social media being a great way to stay in contact with people, especially if you're an athlete or a sports person, like Romain Grosjean is.
Yeah, you see Romain Grosjean on Twitter quite a lot.
Yeah, he's quite good with his fans. He responds to his fans. He always gives them, you know, content and things, you know, to keep everybody interested. So he's doing the same again. He's told to remove his videos because because he doesn't own the rights to the filming. On his own phone.
I'm sure legally it's completely sound, but it doesn't seem right, does it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, are we going to get a cease and desist order that we're not allowed to use the letter F and the number one in an entire podcast?
Don't even joke.
So yeah. If we suddenly change to three legs, our wheels.
They've taken our Fs.
Get the F out.
But this is something Formula One struggles with, isn't it, with social media? I remember what, like Hackgate, for instance. I think I mentioned this ages and ages ago on the podcast. I was at work. I was going to show the guy I was working with, like what happened after the race, because he was reading it in the paper.
Yeah, when Rosberg flicked the hat at Lewis Hamilton.
On YouTube, it took me 40 minutes to find Hackgate, because every link I clicked was content has been removed for copyright purposes.
But you can understand that, because that's not presenting the sport in a good light.
People
are going to search that.
Yeah.
I know it was the most interesting thing that happened last year, but
people like that sort of thing. They like
the drama.
Yeah, like drama, but if all of a sudden
we all like to hear Lewis say man.
Yeah, but think about it. Well, fuck me, two drivers at one point last year actually looked human.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the Nico Rosberg was actually visibly upset about it without going, we're pushing really hard. You know, I don't understand why Formula One would try and keep that sort of thing away from people.
Yeah, when they are now years later using the Prost Senna rivalry to market the sport, you know, as one of the great drama sort of things.
Yeah.
It's a very similar situation. Two teammates in a very similar car. The only difference is Prost and Senna both won world championships.
harsh but fair.
It is fair, because Nico's really got to step up to the plate, and we've mentioned that many, many, many times in the past.
Sorry, I thought we were in the greatest hits tape for a second then.
Yeah, we were. Podcast greatest hits.
Slight tangent, but speaking about Nico needing to step up, and what we've said before, and like my point of view at the end of last season, is that if the championship was still up for grabs, I don't think Nico would have won those last races.
Well, no, Lewis has actually come out and said he couldn't be asked.
And his words were, never towards the end of a season have I enjoyed myself so much.
Yeah, but was Lewis not asked? Because he didn't seem very happy in Mexico.
No, he meant outside Formula One. He said he was enjoying himself outside of Formula One too much.
Yeah, but he probably was, but he already had the title wrapped up.
Yeah.
But he didn't seem, saying that he's not arsed, I don't think is correct, because he didn't seem very happy in Mexico when they wouldn't let him stay out on those tyres to try and battle Nico in the final few laps of the race. No, sorry, Lewis, you've got to come in and pit.
otherwise
oh, no,
we'll tell
him. I'm not saying he was happy with coming second.
Mm.
I'm just saying I don't think maybe over the course of the whole weekend he wasn't putting the preparation in, maybe.
Perhaps.
Although I think the thing with the tyres was possibly one of the, you know, it's like, I'm trying here, let me carry on winning. Oh, you're not gonna do it, right? Okay. It was on for an after race party.
Well, that's it. I had a hangover yesterday. I couldn't prepare a sandwich, let alone a race weekend.
I couldn't string a sentence together with a hangover.
Yeah, I would make the usual drink responsibly joke, but I don't think any of us did over the course of the weekend.
No. Drink responsibly, unless you're Lewis Hamilton, and you may not have drunk responsibly, or you may have done, and you may not be responsible for crashing your Pagani Zonda into a stationary vehicle in Monaco.
Plus,
which may or may not have happened, and may or may not have been the influence of partying.
Plus, when we went on the...
And all tyres.
Plus, when we went on the Three Legs Four Wheels pub crawl on Saturday, we didn't actually find one pub that sold responsibly, so we couldn't drink responsibly.
No.
Yes. Yes, very poor.
Yeah, so Isle of Man pubs, get some responsibly in and we'll drink it.
All of it.
In a responsible manner. What else have we got? New qualifying rules. Qualifying hokey-cokey. It's in, it's out, they've shaken it all about.
So
I haven't had to that one just came to me. That was
leave it till Barcelona, then you turn around. That's where you kick it out.
Oi. Oh, that's the Wolf Stevens bit.
Then. Yeah, oi.
So they had the meeting in Geneva where they were talking about how the technical regulations for 2017 were going to look. And
yeah.
Got
which
distracted.
Was the day after we recorded last week.
Yep. So they got distracted and said, let's change qualifying. Tomorrow. No. In
now.
Spain. No.
Yeah, so it was going to be 6 minutes and then the bottom one drops out and then every 90 seconds someone drops out until the first seven have gone and...
It was a sport which is constantly being accused of being too complicated for people to follow. I don't think it's too complicated. I think it's too complicated for stupid people to follow.
No, it's just...
But this was very complicated.
This was so complicated that they can't even get the software for the timing systems to work properly.
Yeah.
Until Barcelona, at the earliest, I'm saying at this point.
Yeah.
I'm getting this one in
well,
first.
Well, they only found out that they had to write this software last week.
Yeah, this is after all the teams have chosen their tyres for everything up to...
Yeah,
they say that, though. But I refuse to believe that the software for that doesn't already exist somewhere. There must be a racing series somewhere in the world which does this.
Well, here's the thing. Mr. Eccleston wasn't a fan of this particular qualifying idea.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Eccleston is responsible for the... team writing the software.
Yeah.
Mr. Eccleston's team writing the software can't get it done by when they said they actually start doing the qualifying.
Which is...
Coincidence?
I'd have thought Bernie Eccleston thought software was like a nice fleecy jacket.
I prefer Bernie's idea of his idea for qualifying.
Yeah,
I'm
not exactly sure on the details, but what he was talking about was basically handicapping people in qualifying based on how well they'd done in the previous race. So something along the lines of, if you win the race before, you get a 10-place grid penalty for qualifying.
Yeah, but it's almost like the old touring car thing where they stick weights in
the ballast,
car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're obviously faster than everyone else, so have some weight to slow down. Until everybody was sort of, you know, midway through the season, there was a good balance and you got some very, very tight racing.
Oh, hang on, all the drivers are being told to lose weight. So if you win a race, you've got to eat a pie before the next qualifying.
See, the winner gets a giant roast dinner on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I don't know whether...
Here comes the chips!
I don't know whether the...
They're on Nico's shoulder.
they've got it wrong with what they're trying to do with Formula 1 because... I mean, look how the distance between like pole position and, we'll say 10th because I know it spreads out, especially when we start getting to manners and stuff like that. But
you mean McLaren's?
Well, yeah, well, maybe maybe next year, maybe this year, sorry, maybe it will, they will be last. But let's say you've got a top 10 which is covered by like under a second, yeah?
Which is
yeah.
normally the case.
Normally the yeah. case. So the cars are pretty, you know, even the Toro Rosso to a Mercedes.
Is over a lap.
Over a lap. Not a massive amount.
No, it could be about 0.8 of a second, something like that.
So I don't think the idea of like penalizing the drivers for what they're doing is the right way of going about it, because they've still got to get the cars to race each other. That's the problem here. Not where they start so much, because as I was saying to Dan before, if you have a reverse grid, for instance, and you get all the Ferraris and the Mercedes at the back of the grid, that means for half the race it's going to be exciting until those fast cars eventually get to the front again.
I referenced.
Then you've got exactly the same race as you would have had.
Yeah, I referenced the problem. I referenced yeah. the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix at the end of last year with Sebastian Vettel.
Mm-hmm.
Started, was it last or from the pit lane? Started last, I think it was.
Yeah.
And was 11th at the end of lap one. Was in the points by the end of lap two.
Yeah, but Vettel...
And then he was fourth, and he couldn't climb any higher than fourth because Raikkonen was 30 seconds down the road by the time he got up to fourth.
But was that the year he started in the pit lane? Sorry, is that what he said?
No, this year just gone when he was in Ferrari.
But when he was in Red Bull... one of his championship years...
Yeah, he started from the pit lane and finished third.
Second, wasn't it?
Second or third, I think he finished third.
But like we genuinely thought that day, because no one's won a race from dead last, have they? You know, last on the grid.
Mm.
And like I thought Vettel was going to do it that weekend. You know, I really did think he was going to win the race from starting last. So you know,
but with all this talk of improving the show,
yeah,
surely the show is on Sunday. And Saturday is just the warm up.
It is, but the only way.
The problem is, if you've got qualifying. Sorry, Flood. If you've got qualifying, the whole point of qualifying is to get your car as far up the grid as possible. So if all of a sudden, if qualifying becomes, you're essentially going fast to get your car as far back down the grid as possible.
Then people are going to go slow.
Yeah,
they're not stupid.
Unless my idea is, which I think would fix Formula One. I think I've had loads of ideas that would fix Formula One. 4 points for Saturday, you get 25 points for pole. So there's a reason to go for pole, and then there's a reason to race.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
So you're on pole. But
you earn yourself 25 points for starting at the back.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a real incentive to.
Push forward,
start at the back, and be able to overtake everyone.
Yeah,
and the points difference is so massive for what you get in qualifying. If it's like full race points, there's no point in going for the sweet spot of starting in 10th. You know, starting mid pack, because you're losing so many points
on the Saturday
to the guy that's got pole. So Bernie, fucking listen to that.
Saturday points as well as Sunday points.
Yeah.
They'll probably bring something like that in, but completely have it cocked up, and you'll have a Saturday champion and a Sunday champion.
Yeah, but I mean, basically, you'll work out that there is no point in these qualifying changes that they're putting forward.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be implemented in Spain. They're a pile of rubbish. No one's going to like them. Go away, everyone.
Yeah, what was it? There's been 11 different ways of doing qualifying since 2000.
Yeah.
11?
Yeah.
Well, remember the old split over two-hour sessions and then taking the average time? That was 90s qualifying, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, then we've had the one lap and the pre-qualifying to do the one lap, and then they got rid of the pre-qualifying, and then...
There was the clean hour before that, 1 hour, 12 laps.
Yeah.
An hour when you watched nothing happen until the last 3 minutes and
then
everyone went out and did all their laps. Yeah.
No one moved until a Minardi had done a couple of laps and cleaned the track.
Then the start of the three session one, where the first two sessions ran as they did now, but then the third session, everyone had to go out and do roughly similar times. And then they'd do a racing pit stop and put a fast lap in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you got fuel back for every lap that you did,
the fuel token thing was
X% of the fastest time at the time. And
the only thing I did find interesting with the fuel thing, which I quite liked with the tokens, was that you got your grid order, and then it was always at 2 hours after qualifying, they would put the fuel weights out as well.
Yeah,
and then you had like the adjusted grid. And
yeah, then you could actually see who would have done done what.
Yeah, well, Jensen's third, but he's got 6 laps extra in his brawn.
Yeah,
you know, so I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, Chris, you mentioned a tweet that you read before we started recording.
Yeah, it came. I think it was at the weekend, possibly before the weekend, and it was said we know that Hamilton, Vettel, Alonso, Button, Massa and Kimi, there may be other drivers mentioned, are all great drivers. Please give them the machines to show us.
Yeah, and if we can add the rules into that as well.
The only thing I'd argue about that is I think it's a very negative tweet, because I think, but like, regardless of what we think, like, Formula One cars are still, you know, they're still Formula One cars. They've still got machines to show us how good that.
They've got the machines.
They're still the best drivers in the world.
Yeah, they've got the machines, but the way they're allowed to run the machines.
Yeah,
they barely break a sweat getting out of the car these days, those drivers.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean, but the problem is, as far as tweets like that go and comments like that, is even if every lap was wheel to wheel, the whole grid was covered by a tenth of a second. The internet hive mind, their reaction is always negative.
Oh, they're too quiet now.
What do you make them louder for? I can't take my son to go and watch them now. Yeah. Go and buy ear defenders.
Yeah, now they're all now the cars are racing so close together, and
they all come past in one big pack. Yeah, spread them out a bit.
It's hard to follow because there's one blur going around. They can't tell which car.
Overtaking isn't special anymore because it happens all the time.
Yeah. F1 fans are the worst.
Yeah. No, internet fans are the worst. Internet fans of everything.
Internet has ruined the world.
Oh, thanks for listening to our podcast, by the way.
We'd like to thank the internet for being the worst. It's still real to me, goddammit.
Fuck the internet. We're going to start putting this out on tape.
Yeah, cassette tape.
Send for our fanzine.
You want to go careful with a beard that size saying we're doing it on tape. You are getting very artisanal.
Yeah, reel to reel, motherfucker.
Shall we talk about testing?
Oh, go on then.
Because I think we've been testing everyone's patience so far.
We've been testing everyone's patience for about 2 years.
About a year.
What?
We've only been doing this a year.
Have we?
Yes. It just seemed longer.
Jeez. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
This is only episode 42.
What? Fuck.
Yeah, you're listening to every week twice, aren't you?
This is your problem.
So does that mean, like, when I listen to it on my iPad, to my phone, it's not different?
No.
Shit.
Mothers, don't let your children grow up to be drummers.
Or sniff glue.
Take that as a given anyway. Sniff responsibly, kids. testing last week. Some interesting things came out of it. Do we talk about Alonso with his 3 laps on Thursday and watch Lee sit in the corner and blub?
Yeah, let's just get that out of the way first. McLaren started brilliantly.
It's still real to me, damn it.
So, McLaren.
Might not look as good as we were hoping.
Yeah, because last Monday we were
definitely
saying...
Definitely not looking as good as I was hoping.
Last Monday when we recorded, we were saying, Jensen, great session, got the laps in, did more than a Grand Prix distance.
Yeah.
But both drivers have done over 100 laps. They're a world away from where they were 12 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they managed to do laps.
But they're still a world away from where Mercedes are at the front.
Actually, yeah. I'd argue that where Alonso finished his last day of testing is very similar to where they were last year.
Sat in a deck chair. Yeah.
Jumping on the podium pretending that they won the race.
Yeah, that's the one. Major coolant problem. Major coolant problem.
I like that. How come we've never had that before?
You guess how many of us have been watching too many episodes of How I Met Your Mother recently?
Yeah. I swear, I'm the only person that got the true beauty of that. This is why we need to start doing it as a video show.
We will organise that.
Listeners, what you missed there was like a salute in unison, and it was beautiful.
To Major Cooler problem.
You heard it, you just couldn't see it.
Yeah, so it basically stopped him doing anything meaningful on Thursday. And is this... Well, Chris, your theory was that's what you get for having the two unluckiest drivers in F1 in the same team.
Yes.
Or is it just a couple of teething problems, but nothing too bad to worry about?
I know what it was. They stuck the cars out to get some laps in. They stuck the engine on one and threw them round the round for 100 laps. They got, yeah, we've got reliability.
Stuck it on two.
Then they stuck it on two to try and chase some time, and it fucking blew up.
Well, the good news is for them, I suppose, there's a whole new engine configuration coming in for the second week of testing starting tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So they can try the one that doesn't leak.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the one that doesn't leak is probably going to have a different problem somewhere else entirely.
It did take them an entire day to strip the car down to find where this coolant leak was.
I mean, they did say at the time that they knew what it was, they just didn't know why it was doing what it was.
Well, if they knew that, it wouldn't be doing what it was.
That is a fair point.
Well, presumably it's a lot better to spend the time now fixing the root cause of the problem than it is to just stick a bit of duct tape on it and send them out to do some laps.
I don't know,
it worked for Lotus last year.
I did see a thing with Eric Boullier saying that the... Oh, he was categorically stating that they haven't enforced the size zero thing on Honda.
Now, is this real categorically stating, or is this Eric Boullier categorically stating? Because that guy can categorically state something without saying anything.
Well, you see, I personally think that when he turned around...
I personally think Eric Boullier would like to be here for our biscuit selection.
Yeah, I totally we all fine biscuit selection. He said, right, we're not forcing them to make small engines to go in our small, tiny back end of our car, which suggests to me McLaren are totally forcing Honda to make a small engine for the back of their little car.
Never believe anything until it's been officially denied.
Never believe anything until Eric Boullier says the opposite.
Yeah, one thing I did notice about McLaren, or lack thereof, we didn't see a great deal of Ron.
Was he even there?
Over testing, yeah, he was. I saw him a few times.
Right, I didn't. Were you there? He's not been very vocal.
He's a cunt.
Hi, Ron.
The number of guests that we could potentially have just keep plummeting.
Yes.
Yeah, we're into negative figures now.
I like the fact that they like my cavalier attitude and honesty.
So, yes, we didn't see Ron.
Anyway, McLaren.
But we saw a lot more of Eric Boullier than we have for most of last year.
That's because he's got a new boss that he has to answer to.
Yes.
So Eric Boullier has to actually do some work now, rather than sit there and go, this is no good, boys. Come on, Honda. Work harder. It's all Honda's fault. We can't do anything.
Yeah, and...
Look at the silly Japanese people at the back of the engine workshop. It's their fault. Nothing to do with us.
He's Vince Vaughn, isn't he?
Eric Boullier?
Yeah, because...
No, he's Vince Vaughn who has gone to sleep.
No, every Vince Vaughn film, Vince Vaughn manages to get himself into some sort of pitch position that he's got no right to be in. He's got no training in. And he just has to blag his way through the film.
What, acting?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Boullier now does have a new boss because Mr. Arai has been shifted sideways. The official explanation is he's coming up to his 60th birthday.
Arai better leave now.
Ah. Which is the mandatory retirement age for Honda employees.
Well, 60?
Yeah.
Everybody must retire at 60.
Yeah, that is Honda's rule. So he's gone to head up the...
Why is Ron still at McLaren?
Because he doesn't work for Honda.
Well, then, if I were Honda, I'd be like, excuse me, Mr. Dennis.
Saying that, I suppose...
Excuse me, Dennis-san. Off.
The one thing McLaren do have in this situation, if there's any high ground to be had, is that apparently there's nothing wrong with their car. Apparently their chassis is really good. So...
Didn't they say that last season...
Let's not judge them at the first race.
No, but this is...
Let's judge them at the last.
Let's wait till Europe comes around. Two races time, they'll be fine.
We are running the greatest hits tape.
Yeah.
Renault then.
Renault looked at some points like Honda did, like McLaren did last year.
And then Kevin Magnussen put in an absolutely spanking lap, and loads of them. I think it was day four.
I think it's just going to be a slow burn for that team. I think
it'll take a while.
Renault have got the money to chuck at it. They've got one pretty unproven driver in Julian Palmer.
Yeah.
And at least one exceptionally hungry driver in Kevin Magnussen that's just happy to be there.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be scoring points this year. I think they're going to be all right.
Oh, I think it's a given that they're going to get points. I mean, the playing down the chances of doing remotely well just by saying the takeover was that hurried and we're still putting everything in place.
And they're still putting stickers over Lotus logos.
Oh, they've played themselves perfectly, to be honest, because the way they put themselves across in the media, anything is a victory for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think you can't really say they're going to be the surprise package because...
Oh, they won't be the surprise
package. They're not going to surprise everyone because they'll do well. It's like, yeah, we knew you were going to do that. You were just playing your chances down just to not make yourself look bad if it didn't happen.
I think the surprise package so far is, if it's not Force India, it's Haas. I think Haas has shown how a team should come into Formula 1.
Can't argue there.
No, yeah. Well, we're not allowed to say how they come into Formula 1 because Grosjean had to take all these videos down.
Yeah. They started off quite strongly, and I think, did they have a problem on one of the days and they just didn't do any running at all?
On the first day, they had the front wing fell off.
That's right. And
then they lost just about all the afternoon session.
Bolting it back and trying
to find out why.
Yeah.
But then they got a new front wing assembly in for the Tuesday.
I'll tell you why the front wings are broke. Look at all the front wings of the cars that seem to have a reasonably good aero package now. They're held on to the car by the hopes and dreams of children.
there is another simpler...
You have to say, I believe in front wings. Yeah. I'll stick on.
There is another simpler explanation as to why the front wing fell off. Grosjean driving it.
This is a very valid point that's not been raised yet.
The idea of the front wing going like this.
Conscious front wing. It's not him
or me. Decides to make a bid for freedom and trying to make it back to a different car.
Yeah. If I snap off now, perhaps Julian Palmer will collect me on his way round.
I'm carbon fibre, I could have been everything, anything. Why a front wing?
I could have been a Subaru bonnet. An aftermarket Subaru bonnet. Look at me, I'm attached to Romain Grosjean's Formula 1 car. But not for much longer.
I could have been a coffee table or a really expensive toaster.
But aside from the front wing, Haas did well, I think.
Hmm. Well, I think they made Virgin or
Manor.
Or what did it come in as?
Came in as Virgin.
Yeah. Virgin, yeah. So
because we have Virgin Caterham and HRT at the same time.
I was just going to say in HRT and Virgin, it's made those teams look like jokes. I think they, as far as the first year, and even if they come in and do better in their first year than any of those teams did, have done since they've been in Formula 1.
So that would just be a 10th place.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'd argue signing Grosjean is already better than any of those fucking teams did. So if they can outdo all of the other startup teams have had.
Caterham, when they were Lotus, did have Jarno Trulli and Heikki Kovalainen as a...
Yeah, but only because they were desperately trying to cling on to Formula 1. It's that they didn't have them in there because anybody else wanted them. They didn't coax them in. They were the only people that would have them.
Yeah, but it's still a fairly strong driver lineup.
It was a fairly strong driver lineup. It was just an atrocious car.
It was.
And the three new teams, I mean, it's a little bit different now to what was then, because there was all the fuss over the new teams coming in when there were the three new slots on the grid. Mm-hmm. Any team that applied that wasn't going to use a Cosworth engine got knocked back.
Yeah.
If maybe if we'd have seen...
And that worked out well, because at least we've got Cosworth on the grid.
Maybe if we'd have seen one of those new teams come in with a Ferrari engine, they would have been a little bit better. I'm not saying
I just mean the way they presented themselves, the whole team, the way, you know, they look like a racing team. I know they've got no sponsors on the car, but they do, they look like a team. And
they probably will have sponsors by the time it comes to racing.
Haas himself has turned around and said sponsors will come with results.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Haas do have previous racing team experience as an organisation because of the NASCAR stuff that they've been
running. You should have to have some sort of fucking previous experience in Formula 1 to get a team. Experience in racing.
Yeah. Well, Virgin were Manor, just rebranded as Virgin.
Yeah.
And Manor had been racing in lower Formula up to that point.
Yeah, because they entered as Manor F1, and then when Richard Branson decided that he liked the taste of what happened with Braun in 2009.
But didn't want to spend as much money.
Yeah. He decided to just buy the rights to the team and called it Virgin Racing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean the other surprise. Some of those Force India times, not too shabby.
No, and also not on the kit and soft tyres.
Not on the kit and soft tyres either.
Were they performance testing whilst everybody else wasn't?
I think so. Yes, I think they're flattering to deceive.
Although Perez did get into the top 10 of overall times on the. Soft, not even the super soft.
Yeah. Is there a case to be made that because the we know there's some like troubles going on with Sahara and stuff now, don't we? You know, and sponsors.
Yeah.
Is there a case to be made that it was important for them to be visual
to look good?
Yeah.
There is that.
Is the chance that we're gonna see other companies on there that Vijay Mallya doesn't own?
Yeah, look at us. We could have the third best car. Look, honestly.
At the moment, after the first test, you look at the lap times, you look at which tyres everybody was using.
I still expect to be faster than them.
I think if they're thinking like faster that at this stage, then they're in real trouble because. At testing, you should be
testing.
Making your car as good as it can be for the races to come, not seeking sponsorship.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they did have a rookie driver in for day one. Was it Alfonso Celis?
And day four. Mm.
So there's who was posting first
times.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the... I mean, Hulk and Checo only got a day apiece, and Celis was 1-4. I've not seen what they're running at this week's test. You've got to imagine that the race drivers will be getting more time on the track.
Yeah, I mean, you say that the guy that got in the car was putting fast times in, but if he was putting quali laps in, you know, quali simulations in, then it's going to be fast, isn't it? Even if he is just getting in the car for the first time, if everyone else is running low fuel and doing race simulations.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Don't know what everybody was testing, whether Force India will fall backwards during this test, we just don't know.
The car looks good, though.
It's not a bad Formula 1 car. I'm not saying all of a sudden that they've got no fuel in the car and they're last.
Mm. Yeah.
I still think they're going to be up like permanent point scorers and stuff like that, but I don't think they're going to threaten... the top three.
I think they will. I think Red Bull will be pushing top three.
You're forgetting Williams, mate.
I don't think there are anything to worry about at all at the moment.
No, I think Williams are just doing their usual quiet business. They're getting on with stuff on their own.
Yep.
The only thing that's going to let Williams down is the drivers.
Possibly.
Unless Bottas can sort of self out. Because Bottas at one point looked every bit the...
Ferrari driver today.
Well, I was going to say potential world champion. Now he doesn't even look like a potential race winner, if I'm perfectly honest.
Looks like he bottles it.
Ah. Oh, we love...
kick up Bottas.
Oh, ah. We love the puns. I don't know why I'm looking at that, because that's not the list of times.
No, it's not.
I'm just trying to read something desperately to get away from it.
Would you like the list of times?
No, it's all right. I think we've hit on the fastest ones. Mercedes was the interesting one, far and away, though, for me, for testing, because they tried to break the car, they tried to do as many laps as they could, they broke the drivers,
yeah. And they had to switch the testing schedule around so that they had, was it Rosberg in the morning, Hamilton in the afternoon?
Yeah. Why couldn't Lewis drive in the morning?
good point.
Because he was too busy on his hoverboard.
No, yes, we saw that. We saw the picture of him walking his dog into the...
Roscoe,
yeah, into the paddock. Well, I say walking. Lewis wasn't walking. The dog definitely was.
Mm.
And, yeah, they tried to break the car. They couldn't break the car. They broke the drivers. And in the end, they ended up doing 10 Grand Prix distances.
They did a scary amount of laps.
And Nico Rosberg has admitted that they weren't really pushing that hard. They know that the car is quick.
Yeah.
And they weren't really showing their hand.
Time-wise, they were doing nothing special on pace, particularly.
They were doing nothing special on flying lap pace, but... when it comes to actual race pace and duration pace, it probably was.
Wouldn't it be terrible if they start trying to do fast, times and actually go and chasing speed, and the car started breaking down?
Like McLaren, you mean?
Mm. I think we'll see some of that this week.
I think they'll have to.
I think we'll see them chasing the times this week, whether the car's going to break down or not.
But no, I think they're going to try and break the car this weekend.
By driving it fast.
Well, no, just by whatever they can do by turning everything up, because
do the fastest race simulation you possibly can.
Well, think about it. It's almost as dangerous for a team to go all the way through testing without having mechanical breakdowns as it is of breaking down every day, because if they go, let's say they do the next test and they go to Australia with nothing wrong, Friday practice happens in Australia. And something breaks on the car, and they have got literally no knowledge of what they're doing with the car, with faults.
That might happen anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it happened to enough teams last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? 17 starters in the end in Australia.
Something like that.
It worries me that it's going to be another completely dominant season from Mercedes this year.
I think Ferrari is sandbagging.
Think or hope, or both.
No, I think. I just don't. I don't believe what they brought to the first test is anything close to what they're going to have for the first race, and I think they're holding something back. I'm not saying they're going to be ahead of Mercedes, but if that gap's two to three tenths a lap now, I think by the time qualifying wraps up in Australia, I think you'll find that gap's a lot smaller.
Well, we'll have to see.
I mean, it seems like we've got a... You can't say happier Kimi.
Kimi likes the car, likes the front end.
Yeah, more talkative Kimi, shall we say. Less untalkative Kimi.
We said this last year, though. Kimi's happy with the car. Kimi did very little in 2015.
Mm. I don't know, he seems to be a little bit different this year, because what little media I've seen him do, because we all know how much Kimi loves doing the interviews.
Mm, oh, yes. Interview friends, Kimi Räikkönen.
Oh, yeah. He seems a lot less full-on, stony-faced Kimi, and more happy to make the right noises this time. Well, less unhappy to make the right noises. It could be that Ferrari have been sandbagging it.
See, I've just got more faith in the fact that Ferrari seem to have sorted their engine out to where it's comparable with a Mercedes, and I believe that James Allison in a what's his name, Red Bull bald,
Adrian Newey,
in an Adrian Newey free world is the most talented designer on the grid. And I think this is the first real Allison Ferrari this year.
Adrian Newey's on the build because it makes his head sleeker.
Yeah, and I do. I think it's going to be a pretty special car for them.
Big words.
Be interesting to see.
Mm. I mean, I'm obviously wrong.
We know that the McLaren has got. Sorry, not the McLaren. I did this last year. We know
the Mercedes
has got all sorts of trick bits and bobs that they've been testing and will be testing.
Yeah, the shark nose and...
Yeah. So I think Ferrari might have made a great stride forward in catching up with Mercedes. And Mercedes made a great stride forward ahead of them as well.
Maybe, but this is the thing. Like,
apart from...
What was it they called it? The Shark Nose, the Mad Max Floor, and the...
air intake thing.
The Combine Harvester side pods.
Yeah, that foil-covered...
Yeah.
See, but when you look at the Ferrari, though, what it says to me is, if you, it looks like a sleek designed Formula One car. You know, the back end looks nice, and, you know, everything else looks like a well-built Formula One car. I don't believe that all those cool, like, innovative things that Ferrari had on it. I don't believe Ferrari have been caught napping that much. And I totally believe they're going to come to this next test with so much more aero, where the car looks virtually different.
We'll have to see.
Yeah. We'll have to see. We'll wait and see that tomorrow. Toro Rosso at the test. Solid, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. You know, there's nothing bad you can say about the performance.
There'll be some painty tomorrow, won't there?
We will get. I think we will get to see what it looks like. I will bet it's blue, and it'll have couple of red cows on it somewhere.
Cows, yeah.
And a circle behind the cows where they're
maybe some itself. Italian writing.
There's a chance of that.
Maybe a shield with a prancing horse on it.
That might be in there somewhere. That's about all we can say. I mean, they didn't do anything spectacular, but they didn't do anything spectacularly bad.
It'll be interesting if it's Matt.
Will be.
Yes.
Because there's still all this talk about whether this paint's sort of funky and all super sleek. So
now, they said they didn't have a chance to get the livery sorted in time for the first test. Is that because
they're using the matte paint?
Where they were getting the matte paint from, they couldn't get the right shade for them in time, but they could get it for the parent team in time.
Yeah. It sounds feasible, doesn't it?
Yeah. Feel free to wear your own tinfoil hats with that one, but you see, I'm not crinkling my tinfoil hat.
No, apparently. It's bad.
Sounds terrible. That just leaves the two anonymous teams. Manor started very well
started slow, got better, dropped off.
Let Harry Anto in the car spun on his first lap.
Well, he's still a rookie.
He's still learning.
Let's not judge him until he's spun on his first lap in at least four of his first five races.
Mm-hmm. If he crashes in the first race, I'm calling it. We have a new feature.
We have a new map. Yeah, forget the past, the disaster predictor.
Yeah, the Harry Anto, Harry Keery.
Yeah, Harry Anto's. Where, I don't know.
We'll find something.
Where's Harry off to?
Yes. When's Harry off? Verline looks like
the real deal.
He could actually be a proper F1 driver. Which Mercedes have been paying him to get to that stage long enough, so...
Yeah, so look over your shoulder, Nico.
Game on, Manor.
That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? Game on, Pascal. I hope we see more horrible, cringeworthy stuff from Nico Rosberg. Game on, Ferrari. What do you mean, game on? They beat you, you absolute tool.
I genuinely think if it's another... with him having such a strong year, you know, towards the end of last year, and win races and stuff, when it was all too late.
Yeah.
If it starts again and Hamilton goes out, he's like a second quicker than him in qualified, gets pole, wins the race, and the year unfolds as last year did. I think a nervous breakdown for Nico Rosberg is very possible.
I want to see Sebastian Vettel finish second in the first race. And then just sit there and go, game on, Mercedes.
So some more of Vettel winding Rosberg up.
No, Vettel was a star at winding Mercedes drivers up. Lewis generally didn't bite, he knew he was joking, but Nico did every single time. Oh. It was hilarious.
it was cringeworthy.
Yeah.
That just leaves Sauber, and there's really not a lot we can say about them because they were testing last year's car with some of this year's aero on it.
Which was just... There's just no point in even discussing them because they've released their
car. Who drove the car?
Both drivers.
Both drivers.
Well, yeah. So they didn't have any pay drivers in for the weekend?
No, it was...
surprising, isn't it?
No, it was basically their drivers got in last year's car with some of this year's just bits
tire
on.
Tyre testing it? Then.
Drove it round. I think they're just testing sort of tyre reliability, what aero works, what aero doesn't. Mm-hmm. Didn't trouble the top 10 for times.
No. Did a solid Sauber it, then.
Yeah.
You say that.
Didn't they?
I think I'm looking at Formula1.com here, and they've got the average lap times, I think, is what I'm looking at.
Right.
And ninth is Marcus Ericsson.
Really?
Just behind Nico Rosberg. And ahead of Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, but they didn't trouble the fastest times per session or anything like that.
Well, you can take that result to the bank then.
That's right, everybody.
Tenor on Ericsson.
You heard it here first. Marcus Ericsson, 2016 world champion.
The thing is, though...
Because you won't hear it anywhere else.
With Sauber's press department being as lacking as they are and not actually telling anyone what they were doing. We don't know, you know, were they just doing race simulations to get the drivers back up to fitness or something?
Possibly, yeah.
They have been as anonymous as we have accused them of being all last season.
Don't forget, it's not even all about the car, is it, in those situations. You've got, like, the drivers can go out there and like you say, it's just getting them back in a Formula One car. There's new tyre compounds to worry about, pit stop practice yeah. and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
There's probably tons of stuff. Even getting the technical side in the garage all set up, you know, yeah. being used to breaking things down and putting it back
yeah.
up again.
Yeah. Bang a load of laps in, guys, we'll see what the car's like next week.
Yeah.
And we'll
say we will.
Yeah, and
that's what we'll do.
We'll basically see what the car's like from tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll talk about the second test next week, and any other news that unfolds in the meantime.
Yeah, if we get anything interesting during the week, we'll put it on the website. Thanks from all of us for continuing to download us. By the way,
is it 2 weeks Sunday the first race now? Then no, it's this coming weekend.
Two weeks this weekend.
3 weeks.
Is it 3 weeks?
3 weeks, I think.
3 weeks.
No, 2 weeks is coming weekend.
I don't know when we are.
Sorry, 2 weeks is coming weekend. Yeah. I'm wrong, yes.
It is 2 weeks. You threw me completely for a second.
Sorry, I've got that wrong.
Yeah, and of course for that, we'll be back with our live online commentaries.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be exciting.
Mm, it is if we let Lee near a keyboard, which we're not going to do again. Not at 5 in the morning, anyway.
Well, let me go, but I'll only speak in binary.
Everybody only speaks in binary when it's in text.
Motherfucker.
We'll leave you with that thought. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Oh, don't forget to rate us. You haven't been doing it, and you really need to do it, because the more you rate us...
Because it makes us happy.
It makes us happy. I won't cut myself any. And if you give us 5 stars, we get higher up the iTunes charts, which means more people listen to us, which means you're going to get more excited us. So just do it. You probably, like, if you listen to this on your iPod right now, pull out of your pocket and press the button. If you're on your computer, go on to iTunes and do it. If you're on Android, it's all right. You can't.
you can rate things on other podcast apps as well.
Can you?
Yes.
Yeah, you can rate. Just rate us.
Just give us a rating. Approve us, please. We crave your approval,
because at the end of the day, there are some people who take this very seriously, and we're just four mates who sit in the living room and record a podcast every week. Mm-hmm. And we thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, and we hope the sound of eating biscuits hasn't been too loud this week.
I love yous. All of yous.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.